don't know how many times I've preached out of the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't keep my sermons on the computer. I don't put the scriptures on there. I have the titles and the dates and all that. And it takes me a lot of work to go back and figure out how many times from the book of Ecclesiastes. I think a couple times. But I think this is the first time I've preached from this passage here in chapter 4. Of course, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. Solomon was a wise man. Some think the wisest man that ever lived. In fact, the Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22, "And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom." And then it says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Now, I was going to count the verses in Proverbs this afternoon and just assume there was one verse in every, or one proverb from every verse, but I didn't get to do that either. I know there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and the last part of chapter 31 is about the blessed woman, the good wife. And so I'll do that this week and let you know next week. I don't know if we have them all or not, is my point. 3,000 proverbs is a lot of proverbs. I don't believe there's 3,000 verses. That would be 100 verses, and I know there's not 100 verses in every chapter. So I don't think we have them all. And he wrote 1,005 songs. And then it says in that next verse, "For he was wiser than all men." So King Solomon was given wisdom by God, and he used that wisdom to rule God's people. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes was written at the end of his life. And some people think it's a cynical book because he uses the phrase, "It is vexation, vanity and vexation of spirit." He was talking about the different things that he tried. He gathered wealth and he made houses and he tried gardening and built things. And he says it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And he gets down to the last couple verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And he says, let me sum up the whole thing. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And that's a pretty good, if you're going to succinctly say what is the whole duty of man, it is to hold God in awe. It is to realize that he is God and keep his commandments. There's a lot of wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in these verses that we read, there's a couple of three nuggets of wisdom that I want to share with you tonight. And I'm going to start at verse 12 and work my way up, because my message tonight comes from verse 10. But I don't want to miss the wisdom that's in verses 12 and 11. So, this is going to be an illustrated message tonight. Adam, I need you to come up here and help me, if you would. And Ryan, would you come up here and help me for just a second? All right, here's what it says in verse 12. It talks about, okay, you stand over there and you stand over here. It talks, and these three verses talk about two is better than one. And in verse 12, it talks about if one prevails against another and he has help, then that help will help him. So, Ryan, you think you can take Adam? You think you can beat him up? You think you could beat him up? I don't know. He's kind of big. I know you're tough, but look at him. I have a tough time beating him up. I think if you tried to beat him up, he'd probably get you. Okay, but what this Bible verse is saying, Evan, come up here. What this Bible verse is saying is that if you put one with one and you have two, that they have a better shot of taking that one that's fighting against them. Now, you two think you can take them? Boy, I tell you, you guys are brave. I don't know. I think that the odds are a little bit better now. I think you'd have a better chance. But that Bible says, that verse says, a threefold cord. Thank you. Threefold cord shall prevail. In other words, if there's three of us and we go for Adam, you think we could take him? Yeah, I think we could too. I could hold him. You guys could beat him. Okay. All right. You guys go sit down. Oh, and stay up here, Adam. Okay. Now, you move up to verse 11. And it talks, now remember, now this verse was written before there was central heat and electric blankets. Okay? You got to keep that in mind. The Bible said, Chantel, you come up here. Okay? You stand over here, please. That verse says, if one lie alone, she'll get cold. Right?
Right.
Again, this is before central heat where you could go over and turn up the thermostat, where you could turn up the electric blanket. But it says, if two lie together, they can have heat. So what do when you get cold? She knew I was going to use this illustration. She slipped me $10. Okay, you go sit down. So, two, again, the Bible's saying two is better than one. Two is better than one, and three is better than one when you get into a fight or when you're trying to prevail against somebody. And then two is better than one when you're sleeping, because if you don't have an electric blanket or you know, where you go pop the heat up, you can snuggle together and stay warm. So two is better than one. And then it talks about in verse 10 about walking. And it says, okay, Evan, come back up here for a minute, bud. Okay? It talks about walking. And it says, if one walks by themselves, just walk across to there, and they fall, okay, good. They have nobody to help pick them up. They got to pick themselves up. Okay, come back over here. Okay? But if there's two walking along, okay, so we'll walk together, okay, and you fall, all right? So here I am, all right, let me have your hand. Here I am to help you up. And so the Bible says, if you're going to walk, two is better than one, because if one falls, the other is there to help pick them up. Now, here's what I was thinking, and I've been thinking about this message for 2 or 3 weeks, waiting for it to all come together. I thought about the two walking together, just like Evan and I can illustrate, an older person and a younger person. I thought about when Adam, I was going to use Adam, but the analogy would just go by the wayside. But when Adam was a little boy, we would walk together, okay? We would walk, and we would walk, and sometimes Adam would fall, all right? And then Dad would be there to help pick him up. Now, I know that in days to come, if what usually happens, one day Dad's going to be the old man, and Adam's going to be the young man, and Dad will be, you know, scooped down and like this, and he'll be dependent, stand up straight, he'll be depending on Adam to help hold him up. I can remember walking to the bus stop with my grandfather, and my grandmother, for that matter, when I was a teenager. And I can remember having to slow down so that they could keep up with me. And I can remember as my grandmother got older, she would put her arm on my arm to help hold her up. And I was thinking the last couple weeks, that's what happens to all of us if we continue to live. We get older, we get more feeble, and we depend on others to help hold us up. Okay, you can go back. And I'll use you guys again in just a little bit. So, two is better than one. Two's better than one when it comes to when you're in a conflict. And three is better than two. Your odds of winning of that conflict is better in numbers. Two is better than one when you're sleeping, because you can get warmth from one another. And two is better than one when you walk, because if one falls, either a little child or an adult, the other one is there to help pick them up. Now, let me make several spiritual applications tonight. And I have three that I want to make. Woe, number one, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, and I'm going to add a couple words, into sin. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth into sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if we fall into sin alone, because we are alone, we face the penalty of sin. We face the condemnation that goes with sin. We face the judgment that God has put on sin. He said the wages of sin is death, and that death is separation from God forever in that place called hell. And we talked about it this morning. God did not make hell for people, nor did he make people for hell. But when we ignore the gospel, when we ignore Jesus Christ, when we ignore the saving power that His blood wrought for us on Calvary, we walk alone, and by the way, we're all going to fall into sin. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you will fall into sin. And if you fall into sin alone, there is nobody there to help you get up. But I know a person. I know the Son of God that's willing to walk with us, and when we fall into sin, is able to reach down and say, I can help you up. I can get you out of that sin. I can get you out of that condemnation and that judgment that God has prepared for you. And if you'll let me, I'll walk with you. And when you fall into sin, you won't have to pay the penalty. We sing that song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. And we sometimes sing it, Jesus lifted me. And He's all we need. And so if you're gonna try to live your life by yourself and you fall into sin as you will, understand there's nobody there to help pick you up. You say, Brother Darrell, I can get up myself. No, you can't. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. I remember that story of the disciples in the boat in the middle of the night, and there was a storm, and they were rowing hard to bring the boat to land, and they look out, and they see the impossible. They see somebody walking on the water toward them, and they were afraid. Hadn't seen Jesus walk on water yet. They'd seen Him perhaps do a couple miracles, but never do this. And they were afraid. And Jesus knew they were afraid. And He said, hey, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter, you know, the one that always sometimes spoke before he thought, he said, Lord, if it's really You, bid me come to You. In other words, let me walk over to You. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And Peter got out of the boat. And he, again, the storm was raging. The wind was blowing. The waves were high. And here was Peter. He got out of that boat, and I don't know how he got. I don't know if he jumped. I don't know if he, you know, put his toe on. I don't know all that. But he got out of the boat, and he started walking toward Jesus, and he started looking around. He took his eye off Jesus, and he saw the wind. He took his eye off Jesus, saw the waves, and the Bible says he began to sink. You remember what he cried out? Save me! Save me! And Jesus reached down His hand and He said, Peter, where's your faith, man? Where's your faith? We walk through this life. We're going to fall into sin because we're all sinners. Woe to him that falleth when he's alone into sin. Because we are going to fall into sin, you need to have Jesus walking beside you. You need to have the one that can lift you from that sin, save you from that penalty of sin, and make you right with God. So woe to him that falleth when he is alone and falleth into sin. Number two, woe to him who is alone and falleth away from God. And falleth away from God. As Christians, when we fall away from God, we have a good chance of messing up our life and messing up our testimony. We're saved, but I would remind you tonight, even though most of us here tonight are saved, we're still sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're still sinners. And we still got that old nature that hasn't been removed yet. It's not going to be removed till we get to heaven. So we have that old nature, and that old nature fights against that new nature that we got when we got saved. And the devil still tempts us. Even though he's lost our soul, he still comes and he still tries to put temptations before us to try to get us to mess up and mess up our life and mess up our testimony. Now, we have a choice. We can face those temptations alone, or we can gather the support of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us to help us withstand those temptations. You see, when we decide to walk alone, even when it comes to falling into sin, we make that decision. You only walk alone and fall into sin because you want to. Because Jesus said, salvation is open to everybody. Whosoever believeth shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when we walk alone and fall into sin, it's because we've decided to. And when we as Christians decide to walk alone and not draw on the strength of the Holy Spirit, then we are putting ourselves in risk of falling away from God. Not losing our salvation, but falling away from God and messing up our testimony and messing up our life. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible of people that did that. Noah did it when he got drunk and lay naked in a tent. David did it when he looked on a woman bathing and led to adultery and murder. Solomon did it when he followed his wives away from God at the end of his life, when he started worshiping their gods. Jonah did it when he fled from Nineveh. Saul did it when he went into the temple and with that Jewish ritual cleansed himself. He knew it didn't make any more difference. He knew those rituals wouldn't make one bit of difference, and yet he took part in it to look good before the Jews. He didn't walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And again, when we choose to walk alone and don't draw on the strength of the Holy Spirit, then we take a chance of falling away from God. See, every single one of us, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. And He will walk with us through every situation of our life. Hey, Evan, come back up here again, bud. See, here's the job of the Holy Spirit. Evan's going to represent us as Christians. Okay, we're going to walk. I'm going to be the Holy Spirit this time, okay? All right, walk. Okay, now fall. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit does. You're a good faller. You know that? You've been practicing? All right, here we go. Holy Spirit helps us up. The Holy Spirit brushes us off. The Holy Spirit encourages us and say, now look, we can do better than that. I can help you. If you'll let me help you, I'll help you. Okay? And so here we go. We're going to walk again. This time, we're going to do it like this. Okay? I'm the Holy Spirit. I got hold of you. Here we go. Now fall. See, he still fell. And then sometimes we will, even when we have the Holy Spirit. But he didn't fall as far. And he got back up a lot quicker. And the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. Brush him off and encourage him and says, hey, you did better that time. We'll do better the next time. We'll do better the next time. Okay? Okay, go sit down. I'm going to call you back up here in just a minute. Now, again, if we walk alone in our Christian life, it's because we choose to. And here's what it all comes down to. It comes down to pride. Evan, come back up here. I'm sorry. All right, he's the Christian. I'm the Holy Spirit. I want to walk with you. Oh, I tell you what, you be the Holy Spirit, okay? I'll be the Christian. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want to walk with you. I want to hold your hand. But here's what I say. Oh, no. I can handle this by myself. Did you ever have a little child that said, Dad, I don't need you to help me in this. I can do this all by myself. I've told you a story before. When I was 16, you know, I'd been painting closets for my dad in these government houses that were repossessed. And I was learning how to paint. I painted the closets, and I moved into the bathrooms. And then I went from the bathrooms into the kitchens. And, you know, then I got to go into the rest of the house. I remember when I was 16, this lady talked to my mom. She says, hey, I want my dining room painted, and there's a mural on the wall. I'd like that mural taken down, or wallpaper all on the walls. I'd like the wallpaper taken down, it painted, and then a mural put up. Do you think your son could do that? So my mom came home and talked to me. Yeah, I was about 16. You know, I was still just out of the closets into the bathroom. I said, sure. You know, Dad won't give me a chance to paint the important rooms like the living room and the other. I can do that, no problem. And I think I've told you this story before. I got over there. It was old-time plaster. It wasn't wallboard. It was old-time plaster. And I took a sponge. I'd taken wallpaper off before, but usually you get it wet, it peels right off. Not this stuff. It was put up with good glue, Bill, good glue. I wet it. I soaked it. I got my little spackle knife, and I chipped away at it. After about a week, I said, Dad, I can't do this. I can't do it. He had to come and help me. It took us 3 days to get the wall. We had to rent a steamer, you know, this place, put hot steam on the wallpaper and take it off. We painted it, and my dad said, you got to get somebody else to put the mural up because he ain't doing that. What was it? Pride. Pride. And that's what it is for a little boy that says, oh, Dad, I don't need your help. I can learn to ride my bike myself. Or I can do this thing myself. I don't need your help. And you say, well, is it only for little kids and teenagers that have pride? Oh, no. Oh, no. We as adults have pride as well. We say, hey, Holy Spirit, I can handle this situation all by myself. I know you want to walk with me. I know you want to hold my hand. But I can do this all by myself. And we try going along, walking all by ourselves, and what happens? We fall. I'm going to fall softer than you because it hurts me. We fall just because we left our helper at home. And it all gets back to pride. It all gets back to we can do it ourselves. Okay, Evan, just sit right there for a minute, okay? You don't have to walk all the way back. Okay, come on, I'm going to use you again. So, woe to him that is alone when he falleth into sin. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth away from God. And then number three, woe to him that is alone when he falleth when he doesn't have to. When he doesn't have to. I like this point the best. This is a point I've been looking forward to the whole couple weeks. Okay, come back up here. Okay, Evan's the Christian. I'm the Holy Spirit. I want to walk with him. I want to hold his hand. But I also put other people in his life to help him from falling. Okay, Brian, you come up, okay? Here's Dad. As the Holy Spirit, I'll use Dad to say, now, Brian, I want you to walk with Evan, okay, and keep him from falling, okay? But it's not just Dad. Let's see. Okay, Ryan, you come up here, all right? Sometimes I'll use a brother or sister. You stand right there beside Evan, okay? Brother Dick, you're a Sunday school teacher. You come up. You stand right behind him, okay? Now, wait till you see this picture. It'll excite you. And then Adam, you come up. Oh, okay. Yeah, Adam, you come up. Okay? All right. We'll let you be his assistant pastor. Okay? Now, all of us, you stand right in front of him. You stand right in front of him. Okay? You're going to make my picture. Okay? Now, here. No, that's right. Don't leave. Just stay right there. Come on. Now, here's the picture. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to fall. The Holy Spirit puts all sorts of people around us whose desire is the same as the Holy Spirit's. We don't want them to fall. We don't want them to fall into sin. We don't want them to fall away from God. We want them to walk through life and not fall. Okay, now, a couple steps on either side, okay? A couple steps, Brother Dick. Okay, now we're all going to walk this way, okay? So we're walking. You got all these people around them. Okay, fall, Evan. No, not you. Get up. No. Just do what I say. Don't improvise. All right? Don't think ahead. Just be obedient. All right. All these people around him, he still fell. All right? Now, everybody help him up. Okay? And they're all there to help him up. All right. Now, back up again. Let me show you. Now, here's the point. Here's my point. This is a good point. The closer we stay to those people that God has put in our life to keep us from falling, the harder it is for us to fall. All right? Gather real close around him. Get right up next to him. Okay, we're going to walk this way. Walk. Get a little bit closer. A little bit closer. Okay, fall. See? Okay, let's try it again. Walk a little bit. Walk a little bit. Okay, now try to fall. All right, he can't fall. I mean, okay, you guys can go sit down. Thank you. We had him surrounded. He had no room to fall. And here's my point tonight. God puts people in every one of our lives. Parents, children, Sunday school teachers, pastors, friends, spouses. I mean, you just name the people that you're close to. God puts those people into our life. And the closer we stay to them, the harder it is for us to fall. I'm not saying you'll never fall. We'll still fall because we're still human beings. We'll still sin. But the closer you are, and the closer they are to you, and the closer you stay to them, the harder it is for you to fall. All right, now, as I close tonight, let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about staying close to those that God has put around you. And I'll start with the kids. All right, here's how you stay close. Number one, you obey mom and dad's rules. They put some rules in your life. Those rules are your boundaries. And the more you stay in those rules, the harder it will be for you to fall. Now, you can say, hey, look, I'm almost 6 years old. I'm exaggerating. I'm almost 6 years old. I know as much as my dad does. I know as much as my mom does. Or I'll go better. I'm 16 years old. I for sure know as much as mom does. I for sure know as much as dad does. I'll just tell you, no, you don't. You don't. And you can take that position and you can distance yourself from the rules that your mom and dad put in your life. You can do that. But the further you step back from mom and dad's rules, the greater chance you have of falling. You stay right in the middle of them. It doesn't matter how old you are, if you're still living with your mom and dad. You stay right in the middle of those rules, and it'll be harder for you to fall than it will if you step outside of them. It will, just like the picture. I mean, when they were a couple feet away from him, Evan could still fall. But when they were crowded around him and he was close to him, it was hard for him to fall. So stay inside the rules that mom and dad set. Number two, let them help pick your friends. Let them help pick your friends. Just let them help. You say, well, they don't know what I need for a friend. Yes, they do. They know more than you do. I mean, I know you think they're old-fashioned, and I know you think they don't know what's going on in your life, but they do. They can help pick your friends. Number three, let them monitor and tell you what you can read and what you can watch on TV. Let them check it out. Let them decide, hey, this book's okay to read. This song's okay to listen to. This television program is okay to watch. Number four, let them know where you are at all times. Say, boy, you're kind of old-fashioned. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you how to stay close to those people that God has put around you so that it's hard for you to fall. Let them know where you are at all times. Number five, let them help pick your boyfriends and their girlfriends. Let them help. Again, you might say, well, they don't know what kind of boyfriend I want. No, they know what kind of boyfriend you need. They don't know what kind of girlfriend I want. No, but they know what kind of girlfriend you need. Let them help you pick your boyfriends and your girlfriends. What number am I on? Six? Five? Thank you. One, two, three, four, five. When they say, when you start to date, and they say, you can't be alone with a boy or a girl, instead of getting mad, instead of rebelling, just be obedient. Just be obedient. You say, well, I can handle myself alone with a boy or a girl. No, you can't. And you better stay close to mom and dad because it's going to be a lot easier for you not to fall if you never get alone. Okay, let me move over to the adults. Number one, stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Read this book every day. Just read it every day. I don't care if it's for a few minutes. I don't care if it's for an hour. But put in your schedule every single day time in this book. Now, I know some of you parents were saying, well, yeah, give it to them, preacher. Yeah, you tell those kids what they ought to do. But look, we face the same temptations. How can we say that we're going to distance ourselves from those things and those people that God has put around us to keep us from falling? And the Bible is one of those things. And here's what we do when we don't read the Bible. We say, I don't need it. I can live my life today without spending time in God's Word. Now, there's not too many of us that say, well, I can live my life today without eating. I mean, maybe we'll do it for one day because we're trying to lose a little bit of weight, but we don't do it for 2 days and 3 days and 4 days and 5 days. We don't eat only on Sunday. And how can we say that we're doing our best not to fall when we don't utilize every single day one of the most important things that God puts in our life to keep us from falling, the Bible? So every single day, stay in the Bible. Number two, every single day, pray. Talk to God. Tell him what's going on in your life. Say, he already knows. I know he knows, but he likes to hear it from your perspective. Ask him for things. You say, he already knows what I need. I know he knows what you need, but he likes for you to ask. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And one of the ways we show our faith in God is by going to him and asking for him to meet our daily needs. I was talking to somebody at work the other day. We were talking about how hard it is for our faith to develop because we don't need anything. I mean, most of you here tonight, you got enough food in your cupboards to last the next year. I mean, you might have to go get milk and bread, but you got enough food you could eat the next year. You got enough money in the bank. You wouldn't have to work enough. You could not work until next year and have enough money to pay your bills. We don't need anything. But what we need to realize is that it's God that gives us all that. And just like that, he could take it all away. He could take every bit of it away. And we do need him every day in our life. And one of the ways to show that is to go to him in prayer every day. Give me this day my daily bread. And realize that every bite we take comes from God above. So pray. Read the Bible. Pray. Number three, come to church. Come to church. You know what we do when we get discouraged? When we're about to fall? You know what we do? We quit. We quit church. We quit the very place that God wants us to come. Remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. But, and in that chapter it talks about exhorting one another and provoking one another to good works. And I know, I've been there too. If I wasn't a preacher, there was Sundays I would just stay home in bed because I'm so tired and I'm upset and I'm discouraged. And I'll be honest with you, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd stay home. I tell you, I've been tempted since we have an assistant pastor to call him sometime and say, hey, you preach today, I'm staying home. I haven't got there yet. I hope you pray for me that I never do. But I'm just like you. I'm a human being. I have those Sunday mornings where I get up and say, hey, I just don't want to come. But I tell you what, I've never come to this place on a Sunday or a Wednesday that I didn't go away feeling better than before I came. Because you all lift me up. You encourage me. You don't say it, but in your actions and in your love, you say, hey, you can make it another day. You can. You can make it another day. Number four. This is what Brother Leonard was talking about in Sunday school this morning. Have some Christian buddies. Have some people in your life when you're about to get down on the bottom, you say, hey, could I come over and have a cup of coffee with you? Could we just get together and talk? Have some Christian buddies like that in your life, that when you get discouraged, you can just get with them and get lifted up. Is that number four or number five? Four? Number four? Number five. When you get discouraged, don't drop out. Drop in. Drop in. When you get discouraged, one of the best ways to defeat discouragement is to go do somebody for somebody. Don't go do something for somebody. Bake them a cake. Bake them a bunch of cookies. Go visit. Brother Clint can tell you. He's told me so many times when he goes to the convalescent center and he visits with people down there, he says, I always come away feeling better than when I go. Because he's gone and served them. And we need to do the same thing. Woe to him when he is alone that falleth into sin. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth away from God. Woe to him when he is alone that falleth when he doesn't have to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth in this book. I pray, Father, that we would glean that truth tonight and we'd put it into our lives and use it. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that's trying to walk through life without Jesus, help them to see, Father, when they fall into sin, they're not going to be able to get up. There's nobody there to help them get up. They can't get up themselves. They'll pay the price. But Father, help them see there's one that wants to walk with them, that will be able to pick them up out of that sin and set them on a solid rock. And like Brother Dick sang about this morning, that rock is Jesus. And so I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, tonight would be the night they decide to receive. I pray for Christians that are here. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray we take advantage of what you put in our life to keep us close to you. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.